CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Welcome to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And once again, into the breach on the issue of Rwanda and we can call the quest for justice. We're going to be talking about Rwanda today. And later in the show, we will speak to Eve Engler about the developments in Haiti, Canada's involvement. But we're very privileged, very happy to have as a guest Stacey Wimana, and she is the granddaughter of Felician Kabuga. Mr. Kabuga is at The Hague in the Netherlands, on trial, facing a trial by the what are the remains of the International Criminal Court for Tribunal for Rwanda. We talked about the subject last week. I want to remind our listeners, one of the points we always make when we talk about this matter is that Ramsey Clark, the former Attorney General of the United States, pointed out that if the tribunal basically has so far functioned as victor's justice, in that no one from the side of the Rwanda Patriotic Front of Paul Kagame has ever been charged with any crimes against humanity and such. Therefore, it's a very problematic court. But let's begin with Stacey Wimana. Stacey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for having me again on your show.
Well, we spoke to you some time back, and we've been very concerned. Your grandfather is actually quite an elderly man, and he has been quite a bit of delay since he was arrested. Maybe you should fill us in a little bit. Who is your grandfather, and how does he come to be where he is today?
So, thanks again, Phil. My grandfather is Felician Kabuga, a businessman from Rwanda who has been accused of horrendous war crimes. He maintains his innocence. He had no part in anything he was accused of. And we previously spoke about, you know, his case and how there was a witch hunt for over 20 years and the media kind of crucified him before he was even captured. He was eventually captured 2 years ago and arrested and in Paris and has now been transferred to The Hague, in short.
And there seems to be an odd beginning to the court proceedings, and we're seeing mainstream media, and I checked it again today. The coverage is, I would first of all say, is quite inadequate in that it's very hard to follow. I'm reading that some witnesses have appeared, and then, but there seems to be a question, they don't report whether or not your grandfather is present in the courtroom, and there is a matter to do with his representation. So could you tell us, where are we with the trial of your grandfather?
Yes, so the trial began, I believe, over 3 weeks ago now. It has been over 2 years since my grandfather's arrest, as I previously mentioned. And it's been 2 years since his transfer to The Hague. Meanwhile, his health is constantly deteriorating. He's 90 years old, and he's being held in the hospital wing of the prison. Since the trial has started 3 weeks ago, my grandfather has refused to attend court. The reason for this is because for the past 2 years, he has expressed that he has no confidence in his lawyer, Emmanuel Altice. Altice has barely visited my grandfather. during his incarceration, we believe that he is clearly here to serve the interests of the prosecutors and not my grandfather.
It's so remarkable. This is 2 years he has expressed a desire to change counsel, to have his counsel of choice. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. As mentioned previously, Altita has done nothing in preparation for the defense trial. He's not called on any witnesses. He's not even been in touch with our family. He has avoided the family under the pretense that we're trying to control my grandfather, which is absurd, knowing that all our family have done is in my grandfather's best interest. Mm-hmm. So, yes, for 2 years now, my grandfather's asked to change lawyers, and for 2 years, the tribunal has rejected his request.
They literally turn him down. And what is their reasoning? On what basis?
So the tribunal stated that because my grandfather is not paying for his own counsel, therefore receiving legal aid, he has no right to change to a lawyer of his choice. My grandfather has requested to use his own funds to pay for a lawyer of his choice, but the tribunal won't let him use his own funds under the pretense that investigations regarding the funds are still ongoing. So not only are my grandfather's assets and accounts seized and frozen, members of our family, his children, their accounts have been frozen too. So, you know, mm-hmm. we have no say in this. Our hands are tied in a way.
This is so fundamental. This issue arose as we were discussing on our program last week. We reviewed some of the situations. The very first accused at the ICTR in Arusha, Mr. Akiesu, had counsel from Canada in the courtroom, authorized by him, and the court ordered that lawyer to leave. I have to say that the debate went on and the uncomfortableness of the tribunal, eventually they shifted their ground and said, yes, they recognized that counsel of choice was fundamental. And here we are all these years later, and they're resuming the old position that somehow the tribunal gets to name your grandfather's lawyer.
And a lawyer who is not working with the family and is not working with my grandfather. I don't understand how you can get any work done without actually being in contact with, you know, the person who's being accused and the family of the person being accused. It's absurd.
Surely, he now, in terms of the lawyer, I think his name is Alite, is it? Alite?
Altite, yeah.
Yes, Altite. Why doesn't he stand down? Your grandfather has indicated he wants it to. Why doesn't he simply walk away from the case and leave it to others?
This is a question we ask ourselves every day. Obviously, he knows our family stands on this. And as I previously mentioned, he has basically put to the court that we are in some way trying to control my grandfather. Again, it's absurd. It's just prolonging the process. This is why we clearly believe that he's here to serve the interests of the prosecution.
I'm surprised that also that there are organizations and maybe I perhaps have missed the news, but there are organizations such as Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. At the tribunal in Arusha, they did write a report about it, and they emphasized the right to counsel of choice should be there. Have they said anything, or have any of these organizations commented on your grandfather's case?
As far as I'm aware, no. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, no. But I may be wrong, and I'd have to get confirmation from other members of our family about that. But what another point that I'd like to touch on is, you know, how my grandfather ended in, you know, in court a week ago. And I'll go into more detail about that. But the court actually ordered two separate independent experts to assess whether my grandfather was fit to stand trial. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, he's 90 years old. He's constantly deteriorating. He suffers from cognitive issues, dementia, and Alzheimer's. So two separate independent experts were brought in by the courts to assess my grandfather. One expert specializes in geriatrics, and the other was a psychiatrist. Both of these independent experts stated that he was unfit to stand trial. It's important to note that, again, they were totally independent and non-biased. Following the reports from the independent experts, the tribunal decided that this was not good enough and brought in a third expert who stated my grandfather was fit for trial. The prosecutors then brought in another expert, so we're on the fourth expert now, who, by coincidence, is Rwandan. He also deemed my grandfather was fit to stand trial. Then there was a fifth expert who
five?
Was brought in by, yes, five now. The fifth one was actually brought in by Altiz, who is my grandfather's lawyer. He deemed my grandfather unfit to stand trial. So we have had five experts so far to assess whether my grandfather is fit for trial or not. When actually, you know, one visit or one phone call with him will tell you he's not fit for trial, nor is he fit for prison.
You would think, but by the way, I have to say, it sounds like they're shopping for experts. But you would think that with this much uncertainty, given his age, and that they would not go forward at all. And I don't see how they can, how they're supposed to sort this out as to why a lawyer could be standing up, lawyer he does not want, and he hasn't wanted this lawyer for 2 years, could still be going forward after all this confusion about even whether or not he should stand trial. How do you represent somebody who doesn't want you and proceed with a case? It's that to me is a shocking story. I don't understand why there isn't an outcry from lawyers and Amnesty and others about it.
I know, and I mean, we have reached out to so many people, and you know, people will express their sympathies, and you know, we haven't seen action so far for people who stand by us. And it's a shame, and it's a very complex issue as well. I believe that kind of deters people from, you know, being able to show their support publicly. But, you know, we as the family, we're determined to fight for his rights and the right to a fair trial. I mean, justice by definition means a fair access to your own trial at least. And that should involve having someone who represents you, who you are happy to represent you. And it's such a shame because my grandfather's he's extremely confused by the entire situation. He struggles with basic understanding such as day and night. You know, I've been to visit him and he asked me the same questions every single time I go to visit him. He doesn't understand why we have to leave him when we have to visit him at The Hague. He barely understands the situation he's in. So it shouldn't take five experts to assess him. And I do believe that they're relying on his old age and his naivety, through his lack of cognitive abilities. And this is where I mentioned that last week he actually did attend trial via video call, but he's not fully aware that he did that. And it was only after the hearing that our family were aware of this. So these are the sort of injustices and sort of, game playing that we're being subjected to.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Stacey Wimana, who is the granddaughter of Felician Kabuga. We would really want to see a fair trial. Everybody, it seems to me it's fundamental. If you don't have counsel of choice, then it's a farce, frankly, particularly when its relationship is antagonistic. I mean, and I don't understand why the council doesn't stand down, and I don't understand why the various bars of the world don't say to him, stand down, you're not wanted, and let this proceedings go with someone he has confidence in. I want to mention, too, that your grandfather, and I think part of the problem is that the perception of who your grandfather is has been prejudiced from 1994 on. I know that when the court was beginning in 1996-97, that the media, particularly an organization called Irrendel, which appointed itself to be an NGO journal to report, they referred to your grandfather as Goldfinger, Dr. Goldfinger, suggesting he was in some sort of nefarious individual, completely prejudicing any possibility of justice. We've spoken to you before about this on the show, but I want to remind people that because your grandfather was a businessman, among the things he purchased for a country, the country of Rwanda, where every individual that I ever met, by the way, every individual I ever met in Africa, I worked in Africa, they have machetes. But since your grandfather was in the business, among the things he bought and sold were machetes. So this made him somehow responsible for the bloodshed. Could you talk about that?
He is accused of importing machetes. He was importing machetes long before the genocide, long before 94. As you mentioned, it was a tool that everybody had. He was importing them. He was not the only person importing them. There were other businessmen importing quantities way more than my grandfather, and they've not been questioned. So why is my grandfather the only one who is being questioned about this?
Mm-hmm.
He has been the villain in the story for so long that this trial has to go to plan, and their plan being, I'm guessing, to drag it out as long as possible so that we don't get a fair trial and they can build their story. In the meantime.
Mm-hmm. And Stacey, lastly, I want to ask, the family, you're doing the best you can. I know that there's, by the way, you've spoken out and your father and others have spoken out. At this point, what is the family asking to be done? And incidentally, across my mind, is it possible you could get your own representation in this matter?
I'm not sure what needs to be done at this point. My grandfather is not fit to be in prison. That is, you know, fundamentally that's what it is. He's not fit to be in prison. Although he's in the hospital wing of the prison, we can see the deterioration, and it's impossible to have a fair trial when he's not able to, you know, mm-hmm. partake in it. So it's in his best interest not to be there. But also, we understand the situation and the severity of it. And the least we could have is representation for my grandfather, which he is happy with and we agree with, mm-hmm. unlike what we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stacey, it's very good of you to take all this time to explain the situation. It looks like it's going to have a sort of, I have to say, a long unfolding, and we would like to stay close to the subject. We would hope to talk to you and other family as it goes forward. Thank you very, very much for talking to us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And I'd just like to finish on, actually, my family have been in talks and are planning, you know, a protest, because we're determined to fight for his rights and the right to a fair trial. So we will be planning a protest in The Hague in hopefully November. So we will be updating people with that, and we would love if, you know, people who have heard our story and stand with us, if they could come and support us.
Well, thank you very much, and I applaud your efforts so far, and we wish you good fortune, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you.